Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. I hope you're doing well. I don't know how many of us will be here since we're meeting on a little bit of a different day, but I'll wait a minute before getting started. Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about accountability today. Michaelin is saying the worksheets haven't been added to the member center yet. Is it possible to have that done? Let me send, you know what, give me 1 second. Let me send a text to Amy on my team just to see if we can get that done while we're in class. Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to send this to her. All right, so hopefully that will happen. Just trying to think if I can easily access them myself and put them in the chat. Let me just take 1 minute to see if I can do that. Also, if I can't find it right away, I won't take up any more time, but if I can get them in there, I will. Yep. All right. I'm glad you asked, Michaelin. I'm gonna pop a bunch of links into the chat. These are the worksheets for today. Okay. Takes a village sometimes. So, we are going to be talking about accountability, but before we get there, a couple things. First is we're like about to step into the longer home stretch of the program. Full program is 10 months. We've already been together 8 months. Can you believe it? All at the same time, to me, it feels like it was short and long. And as we step into kind of our last leg, almost our last leg, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, or I want to remind you of one really important thing that has different ramifications. Anything can still happen. Anything can still happen. And what I mean by that is if you set a particular intention when we started, like by the end of the program, I'm going to bring on 2 more clients, and you haven't really taken action to that yet. Guess what? Anything can still happen. You gotta reset your commitment and take action. If you set the intention when we started that you were gonna keep to date each week with all of the learnings, but that hasn't quite happened, that possibility still exists. You can go back and review the parts that need to be reviewed. or listened to or watched. If you have a new intention that has come up through the work that we've been doing together, maybe don't put it off. Anything can still happen in the container. And I am here to support you with any of that. So, whatever it is that you would like to accomplish between now and when we're complete in the middle of November, allow yourself to have the gift of not only wanting it, but taking aligned action towards it, outer or inner. Don't go into like, oh, it's already done. It's not done. And it's not even done right when we're done. It's still not done. But sometimes we have this tendency. It can happen at the end of the year too, right? It's like, oh, there's only a year left, a month left of the year, and it's the holidays, and so it's a wash. There's still always opportunity and possibility, right? That doesn't have to be true. So, what I want to ask all of you right now is, what's your intention? And it can be anything, right? Whatever makes sense for you. What's your intention for yourself between now and when we're complete in about, I think, 7 weeks? What is a sacred commitment? It might be the same exact intention that you wrote when we began, or it might be something else. What is your sacred intention and commitment to you for the rest of this program? What do you want to dedicate the rest of this program to for you? And whatever that thing is, I want to invite you to make it real for you. Make that promise, that commitment, that intention, that vow real for you. Bring it into your body. Whatever it makes sense for you, hand on heart as you set the commitment, whatever makes sense for you. What is it that you are really promising yourself? And then here's another question. How might or can you better use Sacred Depths, all of the resource here, my support, partner support, community support, etc.? How can you better, even better use all of the support that is available here over these next 7 weeks to help you with your sacred promise, with your sacred commitment? I'd love to see some of what's coming through in the chat. I'm so glad, Kelly. What are you committing to, and how can you even better use all of the resource available here for you? AJ's intention was actually to make use of the resources in this group. Good. Amy's going to make personalized diagrams of all the lessons that you really want to remember and then post them in the group. Awesome, I love these. Michaelin wants to stay the course and complete as you've been completing and connect with more people here one-on-one. Yeah, there's just amazing, amazing individuals here. Yes. Who else? Anyone else want to share? Barbara, commit to completing the homework to further ground your understanding. Beautiful. And to marketing. Yay! Yes, good. Kelly wants to keep going, catch up on recent re-listening to recent calls, and enroll your next group program. Yep. Beautiful. With the tools and energetics. Yes. Dave is going to put the teachings into practice in the in your upcoming immersion. Good. Jolly's been stalling on writing the email template to your would-be coachees to complete the extra 18 hours. You can do it. You can do it. So, Jolly, maybe set a date for when that email is going to go out. Brenda's going to listen to the marketing resources. Good. Yeah, and Ayana wants to connect more. Yay. Okay, good. So anything that you need help with, please let me know. I'm here. The other thing that I just wanted to mention is a number of you were at the Transform the Room workshop last week. It was so good to see you. I hope that you got a lot out of it. And a number of you have been asking questions about Into the Depths. And I sent some emails about it. But there's one question that keeps on coming up for those of you that are interested in Into the Depths that I just wanted to answer here as a group. If you want to do the payment plan, I know it's a lot to do to pay. Some of you still have some payments left for Sacred Depths, and I know it's a lot to double up. We can absolutely work with that. You can put down a deposit and then start the payment plan once your Sacred Depths payments are done, or we can rearrange things or whatever it is. So if that's been kind of, if you've been holding back because of that, just know that's absolutely something we can work with. Okay. Accountability. So today we're going to look at specific tools and techniques and structures that we can use as practitioners to support our clients to become more accountable to what they want to create. And I always like to say that this is one of those topics that at the outset feels like it's very not sexy, like accountability, wah, wah. But you'll let me know by the end of today's call. I actually think accountability can be very sexy. It's very important, and there's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of depth to it. So as we look today, we're going to kind of look at all of the layers, and we're going to pull together a lot of pieces that we've already learned in different places in the program as well. So what is accountability? Accountability, We can look at it as taking action or following through on the inner and outer tasks that you've committed to. Accountability is taking action or following through on the inner or outer tasks, goals, actions that you've committed to. That sounds easy enough, right? Not right at all. I'll take a step back. Sometimes it can be easy enough, especially if we've set up for accountability ahead of time. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But that being said, probably we all know, I know I definitely know for myself that being accountable to our commitments, that the commitments that we really want in our heart, even if we really want them in our hearts, even if we've worked through some fear, it's not always as easy as it sounds. And that's because oftentimes the things that we want to be accountable for require us to do something differently than we've done before. The things that we want to be accountable for require us to do something differently than we've been doing it before. And as we looked at already last week, doing something different requires effort and sometimes discomfort, like we looked at last week. So, what is a practitioner's role in client accountability? What is a coach's or practitioner's role in client accountability? What I'm going to say next is maybe the most important thing that I'm going to say this whole call. As practitioners, we cannot make our client do anything, period. And, well, and I'll just say this, it doesn't matter how masterful we are, how magical we are, our client needs to want it. We can't make them do anything. And not only that, if we approach this topic from the perspective of we are holding our client accountable, that really does close to nothing as well. Nobody can really hold themselves accountable except for themselves. A practitioner's role is to support their client in learning how to be accountable and activating their own inner accountability for any particular task or action. A practitioner's role is to support their client to learn how to become accountable and how to activate their own inner accountability to any commitment. Does that make sense? AJ's saying accountability is sexy if you think terrorism is sexy. And that's exactly what I'm speaking to here. That's exactly what I'm speaking to here. We can't hold anyone else accountable. And we're going to look at why it feels like terrorism for AJ and probably for others of you, because that is exactly part that's baked into what I'm talking about here. So, yes, thank you for sharing that, AJ. But before we go there, I think the other thing that I want to say is that of course we want our clients to follow through and to be accountable to what they want to do and create and evolve into. And that being said, sometimes folks just aren't going to every now and again, like there are some folks that are just not going to be accountable to anything. And then the majority of folks are going to be accountable, but it's going to take time. It's not going to be full accountability. It's going to be like step by step accountability. And that doesn't mean that there anything has gone wrong in the process at all. That is called being a human being and a real life person. Every now and again, there are going to be some clients that like they just do everything that they said they were going to do. And that's nice. But that's not the norm, right? Okay. So let's talk about energetics and mindset and soul set first when it comes to accountability and our energetics as practitioners when it comes to accountability. Number one, don't make your clients' results or action taking about you. Don't make your clients' results or action taking about you. And don't make their results or their action taking for you. Don't make it like this is for me. Parents, a lot of times, do both of these things. My child's accomplishment or lack of accomplishment is a reflection on me. Or my child needs to do this for me. And that can create a lot of stuff, right? Clients, if you approach with this kind of energetic, a client is going to be able to feel it. Energy follows energy. And if your client has had that kind of experience in other places in their life, then that energy is gonna either trigger them or trigger them to rebel or to vehemently not take action or to take the action but from a misaligned place, not for them, right? But for you. The other piece that's so important in this is that energetics are so important because people can sometimes, when accountability comes up, if a client was shamed at some point by a parent, by a teacher, by an employer, by whoever, about not following through on commitments, that can come up too. And I think this is where some of this terrorism piece comes into play. On purpose or not, a lot of us have received accountability, or experienced like someone else trying to hold us accountable as a power over structure. As a power over structure. That person is trying to exert power or control over us, trying to get us to do something, or as a punitive experience or structure. Accountability, oftentimes we've experienced punitively, didn't do this, so I'm getting punished for it. part of our work as practitioners is not to replay the power over structure when it comes to accountability, but to create a power with structure and empower together. And to support our clients to build ownership inside of themselves of the projects and the tasks and the actions that they truly, deeply desire to move forward on. So, part of this is we want to be conscious and aware of how we talk about accountability and what kind of energetic archetype we show up as we support our clients in all of this. All right, let me pause there because that's a lot in a short period of time. What's feeling important here so far? What are you seeing? What's coming together? Who'd like to share?
I kind of have a question is coming for me. Wondering, I mean, a lot of people pick coaches because they say they want to be accountable. And I know my partner, he picked a small, more expensive college when he went to college because he knew in a big school he'd be out playing hacky sack or ultimate frisbee or something like that instead of going to class. He needed it to be small enough classroom where, excuse me, where the teacher could see if he wasn't there and where he felt accountable. And pretty much everybody I know is trying to reach a goal. If they reach out for a coach, they're saying the main thing they want is, well, sometimes they want like some guidance to know what to do, but the main thing they want, a lot of times they know what to do. What they want is accountability. So they feel like, oh, if I don't do this, somebody's watching, somebody's looking. It's not just me. So a question comes up for me around that.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
I think I have been a terrorist sometimes, not with clients, but
Yes.
with my partner and my son. I get kind of like
There is a difference between a coach holding a client accountable versus a coach and a client co-creating together a structure, and a container that helps a client become accountable. And part of that might mean, and every client is different, and we'll look at this when we get to the house too, is that a coach is checking in, or the client is reporting back. But that's different than me, coach, am holding you accountable.
so it's basically the energetics, because somebody could be saying, I'm going to check in on you or you report to me. But if the energy is, I'm going to check in, and there's a feeling of like a consequence or a veiled threat, like you're wrong or you're bad, as opposed to because I care for you and I'm supporting you, I'm lovingly checking in. Is that the base?
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, we're co-creating what that check-in is together, or what that account, we'll get more into this later in the call, what that accountability structure is together, and what works for you, and what's going to help you feel most empowered in this, versus I'm holding all the cards and practitioner, and I'm dictating how this is going to happen and how you're going to be held accountable.
That makes
That
sense. That feels
distinction
really
makes
good.
sense.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Good question. Kelly.
Yeah, I love this accountability piece, and I was just reflecting on how I have this weekly thing that goes out to my clients, and it's inviting them to do a journal and just do some reflecting, and it's very generic. And then I give them homework on top of it. Or more recently, I've been asking them what they'd like their homework to be, which I'm really liking that, because they're claiming responsibility for it. Rather than I suggest things throughout the session, but then say, what would you choose to focus on? But I was just thinking as you were speaking about how I have these clients that will begin and they're like, I must be your worst client ever. I haven't done the journal, or I haven't done this. And I remind them, this is really for you. You are not doing this for me. I am so eager and excited to, whatever you want to share there, I'm so happy to receive it, and it'll help us advance more in the process, if you send these before we, you know, have our session, but it's really about you. And then I just got this email this morning from a client who has done like so little homework. And I just keep reinforcing, like, this is for you. Like, what, you know, I am here for you. And I'm going to keep like holding you in the space. And she just did this. She had this like amazing breakthrough in actually doing the homework, doing the reflection. And I was like over here just dancing, reading her update. And I was reflecting on how really giving that space has allowed her, and then just continuing to kind of like give provocative questions and invite her in has like really allowed her the space to do that. But I'm also, the question that's coming up is sort of how to balance between the, yes, you go, this is for you, and the, you better do it or else.
we're gonna get to all of, yes, it's valid and important question. We're gonna get to the how to's in a little bit for sure. But yeah, nicely done, and such a great example. Good. Carmen.
Hi, so sorry I can't turn my camera on right this second, but thanks for taking my cue. Very much piggybacking up on what Kelly was just saying, is what I notice with a lot of my clients and my work is, so for me, I agree so much with just holding the space for the client and essentially holding their hand and supporting them, but also making it, trying to do my best to make it clear that, you know, this has to come from within them, right? Like they really have to want this, and the accountability at some point needs to come from within them, so that they can, you know, make this transformation in their life past our coaching. And what I notice is that, I don't know if, you know, it could be maybe something in my energetics that I'm not checking. It could be just an overall shame that they've experienced in the past with coaches or with whatever, or even with just, you know, the fitness wellness industry in general, when sometimes a coach can feel like, you know, a boot camp person or something. But I do feel from them a lot that they will literally say things to me like, oh, I only did the workout, or I only did the check-in because I didn't want to disappoint you. Or, you know, I'm only showing up to these calls because I don't want to disappoint you. Or they'll say things, or, you know, like I'll notice before our coaching calls or before our check-ins, maybe they didn't do any of the homework over those 2 weeks, but then they'll like cram it all in like the 24 hours before the coaching session, not to feel, I imagine, some shame or some guilt or embarrassment. And I know you're going to go through this in a little bit, but I don't know, maybe, like I said, maybe checking my own energetics, or I just really want to come to a place where I can help support the client in feeling safe with me, that they don't need to feel that shame. And that is, this is for them, not for me at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've even sometimes, maybe you've heard this too, like I've even every now and again have heard someone say, I'm scared you're going to fire me as a client because I haven't, you know, I must be right. So absolutely, it starts with energetics. And then we'll look at different pieces. But I think one piece that I might not have in there that your question is kind of sparking for me is, we want to bake it into the container, right? We want to, just like we create, we've spoken so many times in this program about being clear on agreements and being clear about what the work is and what my responsibilities are and what your responsibilities are and how we're working together. If you find that your clients have a tendency to come with you of like, you know, like this is the boot camp, or, you know, I have to because, then from the get-go, you actually want to share with them so many of the beautiful words that you just shared here, Carmen, of like, I am here to hold your hand. I love that phrase. I am here to hold the space. I am here to encourage you. I am here to hold the vision for you for what it is that you really want. If you want, and you know, we may figure it out, I'm here to check in on you. But what this isn't about is you have to get this done for me, or there's something wrong with you if you didn't do the homework, or it's all going to fall apart, or whatever it is. So you might just want to kind of share that in the get-go with your folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. The other thing is, similar, and we're going to go a little bit deeper with this here, on the energetics and our own experiences. For particular clients, at some point, it can be really valuable to create awareness, co-create awareness together on their perspectives on accountability and those belief structures and fears, and again, to help them build their own muscle on this. Okay, so let's keep on going. Oh, the other piece, I'm going to ask some journaling questions, but the other piece that I wanted to mention before we do, you all know this already, but just as a reminder, always check your filters when it comes to accountability. And always coach the what based on the who. So, in other words, you yourself might be a get it done person. You just go and do things right away, but that's not who your client is. Or maybe you do things more slowly, but your client is a get it done person. Remember back to the strategizing module on the difference between consistent doers, deep thinkers and processors, tipping pointers, right? All of this relates also to how a client is going to execute, and then how the best ways for accountability and measuring accountability. Okay, some inner questions here. On a scale of 1 to 5, how accountable are you usually to the things that you want to do without outside help or support or container? And I'll give you a minute if you want to break this down into different categories, like, health versus business versus a personal hobby. You can do that too. So on a scale of 1 to 5, generally, how accountable are you when you don't have a container holding you? Alt says at a 5. That's awesome. You're a get it done gal. Kelly's at a 4.75. Amy's saying such a tricky question. I know. This is all just for self-awareness, no self-judgment. Michaelin's a 1 without help and a 5 with help. Yes. And that was my next question. Same question, but with support and a container, scale of 1 to 5 for you. An outside container can include coaches, buddies, friends, family, reminders, alarms on your phone, right? Any and all. All right, here's another question. Probably some of you have already started thinking about this from the conversation we've been having. Growing up, how were you held accountable? Whether it was about doing homework or cleaning up or practicing piano or being nice to your grandparents, whatever it is, it was. Growing up could be at home, at school, church, whatever. Growing up, how were you held accountable? And Michaelin, I love that you just had that awareness about the judgment. Good. Let me ask some other questions. There's some great shares in the chat. We'll get to them in a moment. What worked and what didn't work for you when it came to accountability, others holding space for accountability? What worked and what didn't work? Like, I freaking hated that TikTok timer when I was practicing piano that my mom would put to the like 30 minutes, which felt like forever, and I had to hear it ticking for that full 30 minutes to practice the piano. And I would always stop anyway. What worked, what didn't work? And here's one other question. Some of you have already started answering this, from what I'm seeing in the chat. Whoever was helping you with accountability, could you feel what their motivation was? What was their motivation? And how did that feel? Whatever that motivation was, whatever was motivating them to hold you accountable, how did that feel for you? There's so many important shares happening in the chat. I'd love to hear some of your voices. What are you seeing? What's feeling really important here for you? Who wants to share? This is important for our own self-awareness and also to understand all the different perspectives our clients are coming to us with when it comes to accountability. Deva.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm doing something for a group and I know that there's people that I have to show up and present to, then it's easier for me to be accountable. And then I've also run a handful of marathons and triathlons, and knowing there was a date that I had to run 26 miles made me do my practice runs. But without having something like that set, I don't run as much, or I'm not, I don't do my practices. And then what I'm recognizing though is that someone can want it for us, but most importantly, we have to really want it for ourselves and to have those things. Maybe it is that we have to sign up for something that gets us to that finish line.
Yeah, I love everything that you're sharing, this piece that you're saying about we have to really want it for ourselves. It is so true. And this is a truth and an understanding that as practitioners, we really want to come back to with our clients. Like at the end of the day, they have to want it for themselves. I have been in the place where I felt like I've been dragging a client to their goal. It is, I mean, it could work, right? But like, it is not ideal. That is not ideal at all. So it's so, that's so important. And I love this, you know, now, like if you did want to do some more running, for example, now, I think you've got some ideas on what can help you get practicing more too. That's great, thank you. Annalise.
It's really interesting actually that, you know, you're asking us, what about you? And I'm just reflecting on a couple of things. The first one is how, and I'm sure this influence on our client. And yes, we should be aware of the filter. Like if we are go-getters and they're not, you know, to sort of like be aware of that and coach them on who they are. So I just want to really delve a little bit into how energetically we influence that. And second thing is, I was just reflecting on myself. There are certain things that I just do systematically, and I'm incredibly disciplined about it. And others, like, for example, do you remember my PCC? Yeah, I did it at 3 o'clock in the morning before the deadline was expiring. And that is crazy, crazy. And I just don't understand why I have so like for certain things, I'm like super disciplined. And for others, like I need to, for example, apply for a UK passport after Brexit. And I'm like postponing. I understand.
Yeah, I hear you. And tell me if this lands. And this might be my agenda, so you can let me know. But I don't want you to make the 3 a.m. hustle wrong either. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is it might be that there is a better, more aligned way for you to not wait till the absolute last deadline. And you can work on that and shift that. And I know that you can shift it. But let's also honor that that's been a strategy until now that's worked for you. And you have, like, some people, again, everybody's different. But for some folks, that works really, really well for them. That might not be working well for you. But I just want for all of us to keep that in mind, too. Another filter, right? That the last minute is the wrong way. But for some people, the last minute is the absolute right way.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. I like that.
Good. Barbara.
Wow, so much comes up for me with this. First of all, I just wanted to follow up on what Annalise was talking about. I am so like that, the last minute and last second, right? And part of that is a certain sense of time blindness, which is an attribute or whatever that I've learned that people with ADHD might have. Many people do have. But I'm not an expert on that. But anyway, that time blindness that requires that external pressure, because knowing how long something is going to take isn't clear to people who have ADD or ADHD. And so they push to that external time. You know, that's what forces the hand, so to speak. And that's how I was with all my homework when I was growing up. Oh yeah, that 3-week project. I did it the night before. Wow. You know, so and then the other thing I was, so just kind of to piggyback on that, the other thing I was thinking about is that when I am clear on what the steps are and I'm not kind of, it's not so much self-doubt, but just that lack of ease with decision-making. If there's not a lot of decision-making involved, for me, like that executive function is not my strongest suit. So if there's not a lot of decision-making, that's really much easier for me to follow through with. So when I said earlier, You know, I can follow a food plan. Well, it's clear on what the, so I could be a five on following through, you know, on accountability. Here's a food plan I agreed to. It's going to help me feel better digestive wise. So these are the foods to eat. These are the recipes to have. And, you know, and these are the ingredients to buy. I can do that. If it's like, oh, I need to get this project done. I don't know how long it's going to take me. Which thing should I do first? Oh, I'm doing it at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's due at 9, you know? I think it's such a strong factor for me anyway, with that accountability. And that's why, you know, some of the things that I've, with this group, that's why I wanted that co-working group on Friday mornings. And anybody who still wants to join us, AJ posts the link in the Facebook group, so that if you want to, you know, have a container. And that's just so helpful to me.
Yeah, I love that. And we'll talk about different kinds of co-working opportunities too, or ways to look at it with clients as well in a little bit. There's something I wanted to say. Oh, this thing about, I love what you're sharing about the decisiveness and the kind of making a decision, or, you know, like, this is the decision I've made. That's just great inner knowing for you, Barbara. And that's a place that, I think you could play around with a little bit of, even if you don't know if it's the right choice, I made this choice and I'm sticking with it, right? And if it has to change at some point, great. But I just wonder if you played with that, how that would impact things. And that's my other, and I know it doesn't work for everyone, but you, with law of adaptation, that's my another plug for blueprinting in whatever ways it works for everyone. This is like an opportunity to kind of make some decisions with flexibility, or at least have that guiding light of decisions to go with. Good. And Jolly.
This might be completely off from what everyone else has shared, but one thing that's come up for me is I remember I was really lucky. The high school I went to didn't do grades so much, they did comments. But the comment that that would come up a lot, and I was just home, so I came across this, you know, bucket load of comments from my high school. And it said, you know, Jolly produces really good work, but she needs to be more mindful of how she manages her time. And it, you know, this is from obviously whatever, you know, 40 plus years ago, but I just kind of was like, but you never taught me how to manage my time. Like, it's one thing to make the comment, and it's something else to show someone how. And so there was just that flicker of kind of like, well, it's all fine and well to make the comment, but why didn't you ever say to me, like, sit down and say, hey, you know, I think you were rushing. Talk me through the process. I mean, I guess teachers don't, you know, maybe don't have the time for that, but I just, it, there was a piece in me that was just kind of like, well, wait a minute, you didn't teach me how to do that. Whereas now I think, you know, I appreciate that I'm not maybe as timely as I would like, but I've come so far from where I was.
Yeah. So a couple of things that I want to pull out from here that are important. So first of all, yeah, I mean, actually so much of what we're learning in Sacred Depths and what coaches help us with in general are things that we should have learned. Like, they're just things to learn for living and being a human being, right? So 110% on that, right? And to learn, you know, to learn how to do that. The other thing that I want to kind of toss to you and to everyone, I already kind of said it in a little bit of a different way before, there are many different ways to manage time. And there are many different ways to be, you know, accountable to what we want. And sometimes we only see the one way, the patriarchal way or the capitalist way or the whatever way. And that comment of, well, Jolly really needs to manage her time better. Maybe that was absolutely true because you were suffering in terms of how you were managing your time. But maybe the way that you were managing your time totally worked for you. It just didn't look like what everybody out there thought it should look like. There's, you know, again, as another example, there's nothing wrong with last minuteness. Like, we've come to decide culturally that if I do something last minute, that means that I've done it the wrong way. But it completely depends on the context and the feeling. So I think it's so important for us to also be mindful of what is our way, what is our flow, and what are our strengths, and how does that play into how it looks and how it flows too?
Yeah, thank you. I think it helps to understand your own flow, your own way of working, and also to then, you know, for example, working with my coaching buddies has been incredible because, I don't know, without even saying anything, they keep me accountable, but partly because I'm also recognizing I want to be. So
back to what Annalise was saying, right? That internal feeling. Yeah, I mean, you've all heard me say this before, and I didn't make this up. I heard this many, many years ago, but, you know, I believe it's so true. Like, as a practitioner, I can tell you where the river is or help you identify what the river is. You know, I can help you figure out the directions. I can hold your hand as you get there. I can even hold your hand as you cross the river. But what I cannot do is put you on my shoulders and carry you across the river, right? And that's that internal desire. That internal desire that it needs to be there. Speaking of time management, we're very behind, so I'm going to move. It's important for us to first really be with all of what we've looked at and the energetics and the things, or else it just becomes like accountability tools without meaning and in ways that we don't know how to adapt for our clients. So it was definitely time well spent, but I want to get onto the outer tools. So true to form, I divided the tools into two buckets, preemptive accountability tools and structures, and then accountability tools and structures if there's been non-action or non-accountability. So preemptive is what are we baking in as a client is strategizing, is initially committing to taking action steps, is initially committing to a vision or a project. What do we bake in that supports accountability from the get-go? Well, we've already in Sacred Depths covered so much of this, but as a review, I'll kind of going to pull some different things together through the lens of accountability. So number one, as we've been talking about a lot so far, supporting a client in their desire to get the thing done, in their desire to move forward, in their desire to create their vision, right? So questions like, and we've looked at all of this before, but questions like, why is this important to you? What makes you happiest or most fulfilled, or insert whatever, you know, adjective that's right for that client in that moment when you think about accomplishing this? Why is this a priority for you? What amazing thing will happen for you externally or internally as you take action on this and accomplish this? Right, so that desire piece, that deep wanting, it's important to be there. For some folks, and this is not necessarily a negative thing, for some folks, wanting to move away from pain is also a great motivator of accountability, not wanting to be where they are now, can really help too. So why are you done with not taking action on this? What do you know taking action on this? Like, what about that will help with what's going on right now? Another thing that we've already looked at in Sacred Depth that can really motivate accountability is celebrating, right? So reminding, so creating awareness for a client, co-creating awareness and honoring and asking questions on what are your strengths? What are the resources that you already have that you're bringing into this? Why do you know that you're going to be able to do this? What makes you uniquely qualified to move forward on this? Why is this a great time for you to do that, right? Because that could be a resource too, like why is now the right time, right? So really building on the strengths and the resources, because in our minds we always go to the weaknesses and why we can't. And part of that, and this is so important, is supporting our client to believe that they can. Supporting our client to believe that this vision or this new habit or whatever it is doable for them. Right? When, if we don't believe that something is really doable for us, we're less likely to take action on it. So of course there's like the befriend your fear and the negative thought patterns and all the things. But there's also the, I believe in you. I know that you can do this. Or tell me why you know that you can do this. Part of the believing that you can or believing that it's doable for a particular client might come from asking a question like, what will make this easier for you? What help do you need in order to get this done? Another tool that we've already looked at that can really help motivate accountability, and Barbara was speaking to this, is clarity on the task at hand and the process. Clarity on the task at hand and the process. Vagueness, I mean, again, different types of who's in different moments. Sometimes vagueness is what's needed to move forward. And then other times it's, you know, what is the action? If you want to start a meditation practice, how will you start it this week? What environment wants to be put in place so that you can? Do you need to have a conversation with somebody that's living in your home in order to, right? Like, how many minutes do you want to start off that with, right? So clarity on the task at hand, on the environment, on the process. Remember, for strategizing and motivating accountability, less is always better and simple is always better. So how can the plan be simplified? How can the plan have as few things as possible in it? Here's another thing that motivates accountability, and this is different than do it for me or I need you to do it. Knowing that someone, i.e. your coach or practitioner, also cares very much about you and is invested in your success. Not because it means anything about them or they need it for them, but because they want it for you. Knowing that someone else really cares and is invested with you, not invested for their needs, but for yours, So I often will say to clients, will you keep me posted on how this goes? I really want to hear, or I'm so excited for you to do this. You know, tell me, would it be okay for you to let me know when that happens? Or, you know, if you happen to get off track, I really want to hear from you so I can help you get right back on track. So let me know. Sometimes I'll ask a client if I can proactively check in with them, if that feels right for them. Sometimes that can feel oppressive and terroristic, right? So it's like if that feels right for them, just to see how things are going, right? Again, not because I'm holding you accountable and because I'm sending this email, then you're going to do it. But my checking in is like a reminder, but it's also like, I really care. Like, I'm holding this with you. I'm in this with you. I spoke to this a few minutes ago, but I have it pulled out in my notes, so I'll pull it out here for you too. The environment, like what is setting an aligned environment, so important, whether that's the physical space, the time, do you have the time set aside? We looked at a lot of this in strategizing too. Getting support from loved ones. So, you know, preemptively asking questions like, how much time will you need to do this? And what possibly needs to shift in your schedule or in your daily routine? Asking a question like, who in your family needs to be on board with this so that this can happen? Or who on your team, or right, whatever the context is. What needs to be taken care of so that you feel like you can do this? Does dinner need to be made before you can take your evening run, or whatever it is? Some other preemptive pieces that can really help I ask one of the questions in my welcome questionnaire is how, and even I don't like this language now that I'm seeing it, I'm going to change the language on it, but how would you like for me to hold you accountable? Right? That's back to the me holding you. But asking a question in the welcome questionnaire around like, what would ideal accountability look like for you? How can we together help hold accountability for you? I'll also sometimes ask that at the end of towards the end of a session when we've strategized pieces, if I sense a client might need support with accountability. So like on this action, how would you like for me to hold this with you? Is there anything you'd like for me to do? Is there anything you'd like to do to help create accountability? The pre-call forms can also be really helpful with all of this too. And like I was sharing with Carmen earlier, bake it in. You know, sometimes even in the sales call process, I will share with a prospect like what my role is and how we're going to do this together versus me dictating or holding the client responsible. All right, let's pause there. We still have to look at things you can do post when there hasn't been accountability. But what questions do you have on these preemptive tools? What's coming together for you? What's feeling important? Who wants to share?
I'll just say that it is really kind of going on in my mind, like, wow, like, when have I had this kind of support in my life? And how opposite it was of what I experienced from, you know, my parents and teachers and the church. And at least in the environment that I was in, it was normal to have everything be very stressful, very punitive, have unrealistic expectations without support. And I've noticed, I didn't think of it as accountability, but I've noticed sometimes I want to intervene in other people's parenting when I see them giving their child a task that their child doesn't know how to do, and then wanting to come back and punish them with, even if it's just with anger and scolding for not doing it. I'm like, and I'm going, can I help your kid? You know, can I step in? I don't know you, but like, obviously this child needs someone to do it with them. And it's just interesting how pervasive in our culture, like, that's just acceptable. I'm sure there are little subclimates and cultures around people who do things differently, but it seems like the norm, and maybe that's patriarchy.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're sharing this. Absolutely. Which is, it goes to the heart of what we're talking about. It goes to the heart of what coaching is, which is support, right? Like, ideal support. And it goes to the heart of, you know, what I've shared explicitly here before, but I hope that all of you have been seeing as we move forward, this type of coaching that I've been sharing with all of you in Sacred Depths, to me, and I just feel so passionately about this, it's about two things. It's about the vision and the moving forward on the specific tasks and all of that. But the other thing, and everything that we're learning, is that the container gets to shift old patterns around this and to support clients to learn new ways and build their own muscles, whether it's around accountability or how they get to have support or how they show up, and, you know, like, all the different things. So yes, 100%. Michaelyn.
I so appreciate this conversation. I feel like I'm being coached by you just so well today. One of the things that I've said for years about to clients and about client work is to make yourself right, because there's so much that we have in shadow and so many ways that I default to making myself wrong. And this is one of those areas that I haven't quite pulled out of the dark pot and put into the light. You know, I haven't brought it out yet because it's been operating in this limbo space of just accountability and feeling badly about what I'm not able to do independently. Like, what is just so like punishment for me to do some things independently. And just that action of questioning what was I taught and making that okay to talk about, I'm making myself right again. And I just love the power of this. And you can apply it to any lesson, but this one today is, this is a really good one for me, so thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad it's hitting home. I see it in your face. Good. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, once you've done all or some of the things that we spoke about preemptively, and then a client comes back next session and they haven't taken action. And by the way, sometimes a client can come back next session and they haven't taken action and they're totally empowered in it, or it was totally the right thing to not take the action, right? Or something came up in their lives or whatever it is. So we're all, this isn't also about, like, you said you were going to do this and then it's right forever, right? We're always listening and holding space and seeing what is aligned. But so what I'm talking about now is a client comes back and they didn't take the action, but they really wanted to. They really want to, but they just weren't accountable to it. So number one, all the tools we've looked at the last few months. You can work with the fear, you can work with the thought pattern, you can work with maybe perfection is showing up, maybe there's a wheel of self-sabotage in there, resistance archetype, right? So you've got all of those tools, number one. Another inner tool to add to all of that, as I said earlier, is a conversation, a deeper conversation about accountability. And maybe there's a resistance archetype in there to accountability because of how accountability was held for that client when they were younger. Right, so looking deeper into what accountability means for them and, you know, what's been wired for them around it to react to it versus responding, etc. Sometimes, you know, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, you do want to ask, you know, is X still aligned for you? Meaning maybe it felt so clear on that last session or three sessions ago or whatever to do a certain action, but a circumstance has changed or new wisdom has come in or they've had more time to sit with it and it's actually like, no, that's not still aligned. Sometimes a simple question like, would you like to adjust the task? Or would you like to adjust the action step? Sometimes that can make all the difference. And it's like, oh wait, yeah. I actually want to do that in the library and not in the whatever. Or I actually, you know what? I just want to do the first part of that, but not the second part of that. Or, oh, you know, when I do that, I actually want my partner to be there when I have that conversation with my kid, or right, whatever it is. Do you want to adjust the task? Sometimes asking, what do you need from me? What would be helpful? What can I do? So long as it's within the realm, right? Sometimes a client will be like, can you just do it for me? Or can I email you every day and send you all of the right, you know, like all the things, and you have to know what your boundary is and what the scope of your agreement is there. Sometimes if a client, I see a client needs with desires more accountability and more support from me, I will suggest a tighter container between the two of us for a week. This is not something that I would do ongoing because it would not be right for me and it doesn't support a client ongoing, long term. It doesn't support a client to build their own accountability muscles, but for a week or 2 weeks of a tighter container where, you know, I've done with some clients, like shoot me an email in the morning, let me know what you want to get done today and why you're excited to, and then shoot me an email in the afternoon and let me know that you did it. Now, I'm not dictating to them, this is what you must do. I might make some suggestions, but again, like power with and accountability with, we're together deciding what this tighter container is going to look like for this shorter period of time. But sometimes, especially like to start a new habit or to get going on something that's a little bit scary, even if you've worked with the fear, right, the fear is still there, having a tighter container. And again, they're not answering to me. I'm holding the container that they desire for them around it. Every now and again, a tighter container might look like, let's connect in 3 days and hop on the phone for 5 minutes and see how you're doing and how it's going. I'll do that sometimes with clients too. Not ongoing forever long term, but as needed. Similar to how would you like to adjust the task, sometimes breaking the action step down to a smaller step first. So instead of writing the home page for the website, make an outline of the 4 different values that you want to make sure you share on that home page, right? So sometimes a client might just need like, what is the very next tiniest step? An accountability partner can oftentimes be a great thing. So sometimes I'll suggest to a client, and sometimes I've even paired up two separate private clients who are looking for accountability who I know will mesh together, you know, but is there someone in your life that can be an accountability buddy with you that you check in with regularly on this? And I usually, and I'll share with all of you, I haven't done this before, but I'll make a note. I have a set of instructions for accountability buddies that I usually like to give out as a guideline to think about. And I'll share that with you. You can share that with clients. What else? Doing it together. So this is a little bit like a co-working session, but every now and again, doesn't happen a lot, but every now and again, like let's say I have a client who really wants to get a newsletter started and it's just they haven't been able to do it on their own. We might take a session, one of our sessions together, and make it a get it done session where they're actively writing and I'm holding the space. And then, you know, they come back and they ask questions or they want me to read it or whatever it is. But for that 45 minutes, they're getting it done. We don't want to use this, all our sessions this way, but sometimes like to kickstart a new thing, that can be really, really helpful. Oftentimes, I'm not doing it now, but many times in the past for private clients and for some group programs, and for those of you that have been in Curriculum Lab, you know I do this there, I'll have dedicated get it done sessions. So where everybody in a program comes together, similar to what you're all doing with your co-working, I would hold the space or a team member would hold the space, and it's just 90 minutes of getting things done, coming back and sharing, etc. Sometimes the best thing to do for some folks in a particular moment is to give them permission to take a break from the commitment and to ask them not to do the thing that week and get a breather from it all and then come back to it. Thoughts, ideas, questions, other ideas around accountability structures? What's feeling important? AJ.
Yeah, so exactly as fiercely as I resist and have like major yucks around this whole concept of self-accountability and holding accountable and have a lot of stuff about it. But it is exactly why at least 60% of what I am here to offer my clients. So most of the time, the people who I work with, like people who I attract, don't do their homework. So I don't shame them for not doing their homework. And I invite them a lot of times a lot of our sessions are going to be get it done sessions. And I guess what I am bringing to this as a question and observation is the whole structuring of my offer program and how that I can, just really integrate that holding space. Mm-hmm.
I love
as part of like why I'm here and why.
Yes. I love these awarenesses, even if they're not new, that they're coming, and this, where you're going with this. I was already thinking, like in the middle of when you were talking, like, yes, bake this in, not just to the program structure, but to the messaging. So talk about program structure first. you know, if you know that your clients have a tendency to need more of that and they don't do the homework and they really like, they appreciate that getting it done together, create, and it doesn't have to be your only offering, right? But you can have that as one of the things. Like, it might be that all of your sessions or part of your sessions, and we can fiddle with knobs, you know, I'll let you think about this and then you can mm-hmm. share it in the Facebook group. But it might be that all of your if your sessions are regular 45 minutes, maybe all of your sessions are 90 minutes. Maybe there's fewer of them, or you raise your rates or whatever it is, but it's understood that you're using those 90 minutes or 75 minutes or whatever it is for coaching and for getting it done time, right? Now, this is where the messaging comes in. You want to be explicit about that in your messaging mm-hmm. and own it, and speak to those folks. You want to say, not everyone, but many of the people that I work with, they want XYZ, whatever the results, like they want them so deeply. And they are also, what works best for them is support in the actual getting it done. And this is one of my sweet spots. When I work with clients, not only do I help you get clear on what you want, not only do I help you on the fears and the obstacles, you know, whatever it is, I'm making up words, but I also cater to your specific needs and support you in real time to help you get it done. And I provide that container for you. How's all of that landing?
Great. Like, that sounded so lovely.
You have the recording to go back to if you need it. And I'm happy to look at any wording or any numbers or like how it's gonna look.
Yeah. Share it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Thank you. Barbara.
I was curious if I could share a resource about accountability, a book that I've read. The book is called The Four Tendencies, and it's by Gretchen Rubin. And it talks about inner and outer accountability and basically four types of people that in which things they align with just naturally. The ones who, the largest group are the people who are accountable externally but less accountable internally. So I think that probably will be the majority of clients, you know, just because that's statistically the largest group of people, according to her, you know, her information.
Can you put that in the chat?
Sure. Yeah, it sounds great. It's been really helpful to me. Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, good. So if you're working with a coaching partner in the group, my invitation for your partner session is, I mean, have regular coaching like you would, but when it comes to the strategizing, add some of these pieces in that we've been talking about and work with your client to design an accountability plan around getting the actions done. If you're working with clients, bring even more awareness to that piece as well. All right. We're at time. I hope that you all now think accountability is a little more sexy, or maybe you use another word for it if you don't like that word, support, inner and outer support. If any questions come up or new insights or ideas, let us know. And we are, I think we are off next, oh no, yes, we are. We're off next week. I'm out for the Jewish holiday. But I will see all of you on the 4th of October. I'll be thinking about you and I'll be around on the Facebook group. Have a great rest of your day.